views and opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of KLAY or those who advertise their products or services on this station.
Welcome to Noah, Your Rights, the show dedicated to helping educate you, the listener, on your legal rights and resources available. Our goal, to empower and put you in charge of your case. I'm your host, Attorney Noah Davis, broadcasting live from the studios of KLAY 1180 in Tacoma, Lakewood, Washington. Be sure to check out our website at www.noahyourrights.com as we post the audio for each show as well as follow-up information on each program. You can also email me at noah@noahyourrights.com and you can visit clay1180.com for more information on me, the show, and additional programming on your conversation station. This is episode 29 of Noah Your Rights. In 2017, the U.S. military had about 1.3 million on active duty. There are another 800,000 to 1 million combined National Guard, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, and Coast Guard reservists. Here in Washington State, those numbers include 45,000 active duty, many of whom are right here in Pierce County. We have one of the largest bases on the West Coast, definitely in the state of Washington, one of the largest Army-run bases in the U.S. We also have 19,000 reservists and National Guard in Washington State. By the numbers themselves, that makes us seventh overall in terms of active duty and reserve military numbers. Pretty large number. Puts us in a pretty high class among the military here in Washington State. A pool of reservists, including the National Guard, can be called to active duty. Many of you know that. I mean, that's part of the deal, right? It's of course, it's looming. It's a stake or hazard when you sign up, but it's part of the deal. You sign up to be a reserve. You sign up for the National Guard. You sign up for the possibility that you might get called to active duty. Many of you listening may have had that occur to yourself, to your spouse, family member, a neighbor, a friend, someone you know. And together, while we're all Americans, we want to serve, we want to defend our nation, defend our liberties, defend our way of life. When an active duty call-up happens, especially when the call-up to duty, to active duty occurs, is to a tour overseas, there are obviously really great and large hurdles, emotional and economic ones, including disruptions to your family, your daily activities, your upcoming plans. Maybe you got vacation plan. I mean, that's going to be out the window, obviously. Maybe there's a surgery. Maybe a family member's having a surgery. You have daycare issues. You plan your schedule around the kids. And then there's work. You're probably fully employed. You have a job that you've been employed at for a while, and you end up doing the National Guard or reservist duties on the side or once a month or however that many occasions you have to do that in a year period. But you have a full-time job, and that supports you and your family. Well, what do you do when these deployments can last over a year? What do you tell your employer? What if it's a small business? How are you and your family going to be protected? The one thing that those called to active duty just cannot have happen is to lose seniority in their job, have a reduction in pay from their job for taking the active duty leave, or worse, can you imagine being called to active duty and having no job to return to at all? I mean, those are the issues that people are facing when they're called to active duty. I mean, you're already putting your life on the line. You have all kinds of other stresses with the call to active duty. I mean, particularly from your family. The last thing that you need to do is be worrying about your job. So we're going to talk about that today. Joining me on Know Your Rights to talk about this very important and really necessary protection that's afforded reservists and National Guardsmen and guardsmen and women that are called to duty are attorneys Matt Crotty and Thomas Gerard. Matt and Thomas, welcome to Know Your Rights.
Hello, Noah. Hey, Noah. Thanks for having us on.
So Matt and Thomas, you both practice in Spokane, Washington. I mean, of course, that doesn't mean you don't practice throughout the state of Washington. And I'm certain that you have cases throughout the state of Washington. But if you can tell our listeners a little bit about your background, and by background, I mean a little bit more than just the the lawyer side of things, my understanding is you also have a military side or a military background, both of you, which it really kind of makes you extra qualified to be tackling the issues that we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, thanks, Noah. This is Matt. Grew up in Spokane and then out of college went into the Army, served active duty for 4 years, left active duty, went into the National Guard, got called up after 9/11, spent a year in the Middle East, and then retired a couple years back as a lieutenant colonel in the Washington Army National Guard. And during my National Guard service, I got to lead a lot of soldiers, some of whom had the same problems that you just talked about. They'd get called up and they'd be fired, or they, you know, wouldn't come back to the same job or a job at all. So that's what got me into this.
Hey, Noah, this is Thomas Girard. Kind of like Matt, I grew up on the west side of the state, where you're at, by the way. But we do have a nationwide USARA practice, and throughout the state of Washington and throughout the United States as well. A lot like Matt, I served on active duty in the United States Marine Corps. I was chief warrant officer, and I went into the reserve. From the reserve, I was called up and served in Iraq. And like Matt, we experienced issues with our returning service members after we came back from deployment. And, Matt and I met in law school, and, you know, we talked about these types of issues back then, and we decided at that point in time that we would do something about helping service members. We both went off on our own legal careers, and then they crossed paths again. So in my practice, I predominantly work with service members in employment law and veterans benefits. And so that's a real compliment to have Matt working on USARA cases with me as well.
Hey, Thomas, this is going to be a serious issue that we're going to talk about. But before we get into the more serious issue, do you try to give Matt a little bit of a ribbing now and then, because you have this Marine Corps background and he's this Army National Guard status? Does it get a little ribbing from you? I would give him a hard time occasionally about that. I don't know.
That's true. But Matt already knows this. He's a Ranger, so he's probably not quite going to be able
I see.
To keep up with us.
Yeah.
He's a little bit slower than the next guy. But yeah, I think that comes across pretty well. It comes across with our clients and sometimes opposing counsel too.
Well, I definitely am not going to make give Matt a hard time with that Ranger background. So I'm glad you mentioned that to me. I'll make that a concrete note. So let's talk about USARA now. And you mentioned that in your opening when you're talking about your background and your sort of introduction to the practice of law and meeting Matt in law school and talking about having this practice in the future. And so USARA, that's the Uniformed Services Employment and Reemployment Rights Act of 1994. So I don't know which of you want to tackle this question, but can you talk to me a little bit about what USARA is? Because I'm not sure everybody knows or understands what that statute means or does.
Yeah, so this is Matt. The best example I can give is, you mentioned 1994, but the spirit of the law goes back to around World War II. And there was a case in 1946 that involved, I think, the Seattle Baseball League, which I think was the precursor to the Mariners. And to make a long story short, this guy was playing baseball for the Seattle team. He got called up to go fight in the Pacific in World War II. And then he came back, and he tried to get his baseball playing job back, and the Seattle Baseball Club said no. And a federal court in Seattle said, no, you got to give this guy a shot again, because he went and served his country while everybody else stayed behind. So that was that's really the spirit of the law. If you get called up, that shouldn't be held against you, and when you return, you should be treated as if you never left. And so that's what came out of World War II, both that little federal decision in Seattle, then there was a Supreme Court one called Fishgold v. Sullivan Dry Dock, and that sort of memorialized the same concept, that you're on an escalator, in essence, that even though you're away serving your country, if all of your buddies at work get promoted, when you come back, you need to share in that same promotion, or at least that opportunity to do so.
We're going to take a short break, Matt and Thomas, and then when we come back, I want to talk more about USARA, finish up on this Supreme Court case and this background and how this statute arose in the first place and why it was necessary, and then what those protections mean for reservists today that are actively deployed. You're listening to Know Your Rights on Clay 1180 AM. Stay with us.
When the day turns into night, my hash browns turn into my Jack in the Box $3 munchie mashups. Hash browns and tasty white cheese, mashed up with your choice of savory egg and bacon, buffalo chicken and ranch, or jalapenos and bacon, each for just $3. Because everything gets more interesting at night. Vampires wake up.
Oh, 9 p.m. already.
Mummies unwind.
Hot tub nice.
And the boogeyman gets his boogie on. So come try my late night munchie mashups, back for a limited time, each for just $3. Only at Jack in the Box at participating restaurants.
Hi, I'm Noah from Noah Your Rights, the show that helps educate you on your legal rights and resources available to you. You know, I want to be your lawyer, but more than that, I want to help empower you. I want to help provide you the tools that you need to be successful in your case, whether you hire me or you hire someone else. I want you to check out our website, www.noahyourrights.com. See what resources are there. See how we can help you. And if there's something that's missing, email me at noah@noahyourrights.com, and we'll see what we can do to add the material that you need to be successful in your case.
You use Tearless Baby Shampoo because it's gentle on your baby's eyes. You make sure his toys don't have any sharp edges. You always test the bath water to make sure it's not too hot. You taught her what to do when the smoke alarm goes off. You make sure she wears a helmet when she rides her bicycle. You put on his sunscreen, even when he's embarrassed his friends will see. You do so much to keep your child safe, but are you using the right car seat for your child? Is your child facing the right way in the car seat? Is the seat too big or too small? How do you know when it's time to move your child into the next type of seat? Car crashes are a leading killer of children ages 1 to 13. Protect your child's future at every stage of life. For information on the right seat for your child, visit safercar.gov/the right seat. That's safercar.gov/the right seat.
A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Noah Your Rights, the show dedicated to helping educate you, the listener, on your legal rights and resources available to you. You're welcome to email me at noah@noahyourrights.com. Many people do. You ask really brilliant questions, and I hope to formulate the best answers I can, give you the best information and resources back. And sometimes we tackle those issues on shows like today. This is a topic that is of great interest, particularly to the community that we have in Pierce County with the large amount of active duty and reserve military members. Today we're talking USERRA. On the phone with me is Matthew Crotty and Thomas Girard, attorneys out of Spokane, Washington, that have a statewide practice that focus in large part on military rights, on cases like USERRA, and issues that reservists that are called to active duty face when they return to the world of employment, the private sector, after they're released from duty. Just before the break, Matt, I think, Matt, you were talking about the historical context of USERRA before the 1994 Act, and you mentioned the Supreme Court case involving the baseball team out of Seattle. That was I don't know the history of the case, but I do know the history of baseball. So it was the Seattle Rainiers. That was the old club that was a precursor to the Mariners. And they used to play down in South Seattle on Rainier Avenue. That's where that old stadium used to be. But so with that historical context aside, so that case served as the first basis of a court saying, hey, you're going to have to reemploy someone returning from active duty service. And Matt, you were telling us about a second case before I interrupted you and we went to the break.
Yeah, so that Seattle case, it wasn't the first one relating to the law, and it wasn't Supreme Court. It was a local federal case in Washington.
Corrected.
But later there was a bigger Supreme Court case that talked about the escalator principle that I was discussing, which again basically stands for the proposition that if you go away and serve and your buddies at the factory continue to move up the promotion ladder, when you come back, you need to get afforded that same opportunity. And then in 1994, a lot of these cases were memorialized into USERRA, which we're talking about today.
Okay, I have the citation for that Seattle Rainier case. It was 67 F Sup 705, 67 F Sup 705, and it's a Western District of Washington case, 1946. Nemec versus Seattle Rainier Baseball Club. And then the other case I think you're referencing was Monroe versus Standard Oil, perhaps U.S. Supreme Court case. So there was some history behind this USERRA statute. And before it was enacted. And that obviously there was a need. I mean, people were having to sue to get their jobs back, right? And so there was a real need to give safety and security to people returning to their jobs.
Yeah, so there's a couple of things about the protections of USERRA that are codified in law now, and you and Matt are right that the long history of USERRA started back in the early 1940s, and there's been a ton of cases, and the law has changed significantly over time. And the 1994 USERRA Act is what we're operating off of today, and it offers primarily three great areas of protection for service members who are called away for military service from their civilian employment. And that first area is the reemployment you're entitled to when you come back. And I'll cover each one of those criteria that are involved with reemployment in just a moment. The second area is discrimination. It protects service members from discrimination because of their military service. And Matt's going to talk about that in a couple minutes. And then the third area is to protect your benefits of employment. And for a lot of people, that's 401k contributions, that's pension contributions, that's the right to earn leave and bonuses that would have happened had you never left. So the whole structure of the law is to try to put that service member back into the position that they would have been had they never, ever gone away. And that provides the service member a little bit of certainty. It also, the law provides employers a lot of certainty, too. If you follow the rules, the service member is going to come back. They'll go through their transition process of, you know, leaving active duty and all the burdens and hardships that has on the service member and their family, but they won't have this burden or hardship with regard to their employment.
And, is there any limitation on how big the employer is or whether they're public or private? Does that have any bearing on the statute or enforcement of USERRA?
So USERRA is very unique in the fact that it applies to all employers, regardless of the size. A lot of employment law applies to businesses that have a certain number of people, like 14, 11, or 100 that work for them. USERRA does not have any of those types of requirements. USERRA applies to all employers in the United States, except for possibly, Native American tribes. The law doesn't apply to employment there. But there are other additional limits. There's a 5-year limit of covered service. Now, there's a lot of exceptions to that 5-year limit to service that we could talk about, but I would say that predominantly since 9/11, the vast majority of service members, Guard and Reserve, who have been called to active duty would fall within one of those 5-year exceptions. So Matt and I have had cases where the service member has been gone up to 9 years.
Wow.
In fact, we had one where the fellow was gone for 11 years. The vast majority of that time was exempt from the 5-year limitation under the Act because it was, you know, in service of support of the war on terrorism. And so, we were able to resolve cases like that, even though we're well beyond the 5-year limit. But the criteria for your reemployment right, it's pretty simple. You need to give your employer notice of your intent or your notice of your impending military duty. Now, that notice can come in different forms. It can be either written or oral. You can fill out the form that the employer provides at work. We prefer that all service members give their employer, written notice and keep a copy of that. Maybe that's an email to the boss saying, hey, Bob, I'm going on deployment for 6 months starting in September. I'll be back, around late February. And, keep a copy of that for your own personal records, because if you run into problems down the road, having that copy is, vitally important. Otherwise, it's just verbal. But there's no requirement for written notice. The other thing with regard to the criteria, once you've given your written notice, USERRA protections only apply to what's called covered service. And kind of in short, what covered service is, that's federal service. That's service under Title 10 or Title 32. Now, you can be a State Guard and Reserve member and be called to active duty. For example, in Washington State, recently we've had these fires. And when you're called under state service, USERRA does not offer those protections. Hmm. So when I say covered service, I'm talking about those federal authority to call folks to duty. So if you're called and you're under covered service, and you haven't been gone for more than 5 years, then you need to come back and reapply for your job. Now, reemployment criteria for the reemployment criteria doesn't mean you have to fill out a brand new job application. What you have to do is timely give notice to your employer that you intend to come back. And when I say timely, the different time frames that folks are gone for military service is what triggers how much time you have to seek reemployment or give your employer notice of intent to return. So the first example I'll give is someone has to go away for their monthly drill weekend. Service member, Guard and Reserve typically have 1 weekend a month, 2 weeks in the summer type of circumstances. When you go away for that short period of time for the weekend, you are entitled to your travel time from your home to your unit plus 8 hours of rest to arrive there. So you can request your leave. You should put in your request at work and give notice of intent to leave so that you have enough time to travel from your house plus 8 hours of rest and show up for duty ready to go and in a healthy state so that you can train. So with regard to the return from a short period of time like that, for example, the drill weekend, you need to report back. Again, you get travel time plus 8 hours of rest, and you need to report back to work at your next scheduled day. So if that was Monday and you got off on Sunday at 6 o'clock, that would be more than enough time for most guys and gals to get down to Fort Lewis McChord Air Force Base down there and get back to their home and then show up to work on Monday timely. So that's what I'm talking about timely when it comes to service in the drilling Guard and Reserve. There's other types of service we all know about. You have that 2 weeks in the summer, and oftentimes service members are called away from military service for longer periods of time, up to a year, like you mentioned in your intro. For folks that are called away from military service that's over 30 days but less than 180 days, they have 14 days to make that request or notice of intent to return to work.
And is that from the day they get some discharge paper?
That's from the date that they're released from active duty. Okay. And so if you're released from active duty on, say, September 1st, you'd have four. I don't know what Mondays and weekends are in September yet. But you were left off active duty on September 1st, that's the date that your orders ended. You go home. You have 14 days from that. So you should probably report back to work or give your notice of intent to return to work on this September 15th. So that's that 14-day time frame. Now, when you're gone over 30 days, the employer has a duty to promptly return you to work. And a prompt return to work under USERRA is within 2 weeks. So you give notice, they need to bring you back to the job within 2 weeks. Now, there's sometimes unusual circumstances that impact that. However, those are very unique situations. Now, for service, if you're over 180 days, then you're looking at 90 days of time to timely seek reemployment or give notice of intent to return. Mm-hmm. So if you go on those long deployments that's over 6 months, then that 90 days is intended for the service member to have some transition. They got to get, they got to get back with their family. They got to get their other affairs in order.
Yeah, they might need counseling depending on the deployment. I mean, there could be a whole host of issues. They got to get their affairs back in shape. So that makes total sense. We're gonna take a short break, and then when we come back, I also want to talk. I think you want to tell us a little bit more about the time limitations for a longer deployment, but also I want to talk about what the conditions the employer may put on the person that comes back, depending on how long they've been gone. Maybe the systems have changed. Maybe things are different. Maybe someone's doing their job now. So I want to talk a little bit about that when we come back. You're listening to Know Your Rights on Clay 1180 AM.
Hey, you wanted to see me?
Jack, legal has some concerns about the new Jack in the Box marketing campaign.
Why? It just says my teriyaki bowls are better than ever, with your choice of steak or chicken, plus veggies and white or brown rice covered in our teriyaki sauce. And then everyone's gonna love my bowls.
Right. You can't say that last part.
So I can't talk about my sweet bowls?
No.
Can I say my bowls are meaty?
Absolutely not.
But I already put up the billboard that says enjoy my bowls.
Oh, no.
Try my teriyaki bowls, only at Jack in the Box. Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Hi, I'm Noah from Noah Your Rights, the show that helps educate you on your legal rights and resources available to you. You know, I want to be your lawyer, but more than that, I want to help empower you. I want to help provide you the tools that you need to be successful in your case, whether you hire me or you hire someone else. I want you to check out our website, www.noahyourrights.com. See what resources are there. See how we can help you. And if there's something that's missing, email me at noah@noahyourrights.com. And we'll see what we can do to add the material that you need to be successful in your case.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. I help people solve difficult and trying personal problems every day on my TV show, but there's one problem that's just got me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. That's one in five kids who may not know where their next meal is coming from, despite the fact that there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food out there to feed them all. Now, I don't know about you, but that is unacceptable to me. Luckily, the Feeding America network of good people is out there collecting surplus food and giving hope to hungry children and their families at local food banks all across the country. But let's face it, they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're feeding America.
You're listening to Clay 1180 AM. This is Noah Your Rights. I'm your host, Attorney Noah Davis. Today's subject is USERRA. On the line with me are attorneys Matthew Crotty and Thomas Gerard, practice out of Spokane with a military background, and they focus on this area of the law. They've handled a number of USERRA-related cases. So we're getting the skinny on deployments or active duty call-ups for reservists and National Guard members. When we last left off, Thomas, you were talking about some of the, I don't know if you want to call it the litmus test, or actually just some of the return conditions or reemployment conditions, depending on the length of time. As you maybe finish that up and talk a little bit more about, if you want to, I also want to plant a couple seeds. And one is whether or not, when we talk about the conditions that returning service members, when they're discharged from active duty, when they're returning for reemployment, is one of the conditions that they be honorably discharged, or can they be dishonorably discharged? Because sometimes things happen. I mean, sometimes you're not choosing to be called up to active duty. Something happens on your deployment, and maybe things don't go well, and you have to accept a dishonorable discharge. Can you be reemployed in that situation? And then once we travel through that, if we can talk about the conditions that can any conditions be imposed on someone returning to work? Maybe certifications. Maybe they hadn't worked at a job very, very long. So if we can walk through some of those things, because I think that you guys are going to have some examples of a number of different cases and challenges that you faced.
Yeah. So just a quick recap, Noah. This is Thomas again. Those steps that litmus tests you're talking about, I call those the reemployment criteria under USERRA. And just really briefly, again, you got to give notice of your intent to go away. Hopefully, you do that in writing, but it doesn't have to be in writing. You have to be gone for covered service. That's not state service. That's federal service. You have to be gone less than 5 years, and there's a whole bunch of exceptions to that five-year limit. And then you have to timely seek reemployment to come back to work. And you're correct. You do have to have honorable service to the United States. Your discharge needs to be honorable in order to enjoy the benefits of USERRA, because USERRA is for folks that have served their country, and if you don't have an honorable discharge, you didn't honorably serve. So, but in any event, those are the criteria. Oftentimes, the honorable service issue is not an issue at all, especially when we're talking about these shorter periods of military service time. So that's why I didn't include it in the first pass. But when you have those longer sets of orders and you're issued a DD-214 at the end of your orders, That's really where honorable service comes into play. Most times that folks go away for guard and reserve training, they're going on a set of orders, 2 or 3 weeks, and they may or may not receive a DD-214 for that time frame. But with regard to, you'd mentioned some of the conditions that an employer may or may not impose on a service member. I'll mention one, and then I'm going to turn it over to Matt Crotty. oftentimes people mistake military service as something that's voluntary, and some employers believe that USERRA probably wouldn't apply to voluntary service versus involuntary service. That's just flat wrong. USERRA applies to all employers and all types of service, whether you volunteer for that duty or that, you know, that training or whatever it may be, it applies to you. And with that, I think Matt wanted to talk a little bit about a case that we had over there on the west side that hits all the high points. And I think that was Hanson versus Kitsap County.
Yeah, Noah, before we get into that one, though, you asked about conditions and in return to work. And basically, the law works like this. When you come off of your active duty and you give timely notice of your intent to return to work, the company's got to bring you back, and they've got to bring you back promptly. And then once they bring you back and start paying you, then they have to make reasonable efforts to, you know, retrain you and bring you up to speed on all the other things that you missed. I had this case recently down in Florida, and it was against UPS, and there was this, I represented a trucker for UPS.
Which, by the way, UPS does do a good job of employing a lot of returning military members or discharged military members, but maybe not in this case you're going to talk about. But historically, they seem to be open to employing military members.
Actually, they get sued a lot under USERRA. Me being one of the lawyers that does so. But yet, this guy, he was working at UPS. He wasn't in the National Guard or Reserves at all. But he decided he wanted to join the Army for 3 years. So he volunteered to join, and he left for 3 years. He got injured. He was honorably discharged. And he wrote UPS and said, I want to come back to work. And UPS said, you know what you need to do? You've got to go on your own dime and on your own time, drive across the state and have the military fill out the paperwork that lets us know that you're medically cleared. And that's a no-no. And there's federal case law all across the country that says, no, the minute the returning veteran is honorably discharged and asked to come back to work, you got to bring him back to work. So UPS, in this instance, they should have, brought him back to work, and then on UPS's time and dime, brought him through the medical certification process. And then if UPS determined that his injury required certain modifications or accommodations, and UPS needed to undergo that process as well.
Well, that's an interesting question. If the employer is aware of something that happened during the deployment, is it reasonable for them to ask for a medical clearance, or they can't at all, even if there's an obvious injury, whether that be a physical one or a mental one?
Not as part of the reemployment process, no. They got to bring them back to work.
Okay. So and maybe I'll let you continue, but what about an eye test, or what about a new driving test, or what about a typing test? I mean, are there any other, making sure that this person is still up to the standards that the business requires type testing?
So USERRA is pretty employee or veteran friendly in that regard. I mean, one of the first parts of the statute, it says that there is no employer policy, county law, city law, state law supersedes the statute's mandate. And that mandate is when the veteran gives timely notice to come back to work, they got to be brought back to work and then paid. And the employee doesn't have to jump through any psychological drug testing, lie detector, background checks as a precondition of returning to work.
What if the employer is aware of a situation where maybe the veteran is going to be with like vulnerable kids or something, or vulnerable adults, and maybe there's a question of drug use or some criminal activity? Still, even in that case, I mean, USERRA just says, hey, we're going to honor these folks were called up to duty. We're going to restore them after the fact. Maybe after you reemploy them, maybe you can ask those questions, but you got to give them the job back.
Yes.
Yeah. And then what about, there's no prerequisites that are permissible. Have, does this issue come up a lot? I mean, do employers get this? Is the problem that employers just don't understand that they're not able to do additional screening? They're not able to put additional tests in front of the person being reemployed? Is that kind of the problem? They don't understand that they have to restore the person to their job?
That's why, you know, I think in our experience, you know, there's employers out there that try to do the right thing, and then there's others that just, you know, that don't. We had another case. It was against a major airline where they did the same thing. I mean, this guy, he was over in Iraq. He got hurt. He has to come back to work, and the airliner wouldn't bring him back. It said, no, before you come back, you need to jump through all these hoops. And again, it's a no-no. So UPS, airliners, I mean, they're big companies. They have these large human resource departments, and you think that they would know better, but they don't.
There might be some, and I think you alluded to this a little bit, depending on how long the deployment has been for, I mean, there could be some technological advances. And let's say it's a pilot that's called to active duty, and that pilot's a plane that's no longer, you know, in use. You couldn't restore that person necessarily to the same position that they had before. They'd have to be sort of not retrained, but trained on a new plane. So I'm just going through my head. I love USERRA. I think it's such an important statute, but I'm just wondering if there's any exceptions, and maybe the answer is no, there's not, even if there's a public safety element that doesn't warrant not restoring the person back to the position.
Yeah. So this is Thomas again, Noah. So with regard to, you know, is there any, let's talk a little bit about the training issues that you talked about, those technological advances and those sorts of things. Once the service member is reemployed, they lack those skills or those training or, you know, that CDL in order to drive a truck, you have to get a medical clearance. It's incumbent upon the employer to make those accommodations to their service members. So certainly the employer, once you return, they're going to assess, are you still able to use your computer at work? And we have to train you on our new systems and provide them the login and all the access that they would need that they would have had. That's training, and those are advancements that service member would have had he never left. So to answer your question with regard to are there, you know, does the employer have the opportunity to assess the service member's skill set? Yeah, absolutely. And where those gaps are at, that's incumbent upon the employer help the service member overcome those. And quite often this happens when a service member returns and, as Matt alluded to, is somehow, you know, medically disabled or has a medical condition. We had a case against an airline in Colorado, and that was exactly the circumstance. The guy left as a pilot. He was gone for a very long time. He was injured in combat, and he was in the Wounded Warrior Regiment for almost 2 years. But when he went back to seek reemployment, the employer said, "Well, you can't be a pilot anymore, so we don't have a job for you. Go to our website and look up the jobs that we have." And so what they did is they, before reemploying him, what they did wrong was they assessed his skills and abilities, and they imposed prerequisites to reemployment on him. They shouldn't have done that.
They should have given him a reasonable accommodation. They should have treated him like an existing employee that needed an accommodation.
Exactly. And they could have developed a job after, or new job that he was competent to do after reemploying him. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, it does. We're going to take another short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the salary, and then whether or not the terms of service are interrupted, maybe seniority status, maybe benefits, whether or not that interruption, depending on the length of time of active duty, whether that causes a problem, and whether or not that sort of stops the accrual of time. So if you can think about that, we'll be right back. You're listening to Noah Your Rights on Clay, 1180 AM.
When the day turns into night, my hash browns turn into my jack-in-the-box $3 munchie mashups. Hash browns and tasty white cheese, mashed up with your choice of savory egg and bacon, buffalo chicken and ranch, or jalapenos and bacon, each for just $3. Because everything gets more interesting at night. Vampires wake up,
9 p.m. already?
Mommy's unwind.
Hot tub nice.
And the boogeyman gets his boogie on. So come try my late night munchie mashups, back for a limited time, each for just $3. Only at Jack in the Box at participating restaurants.
Hi, I'm Noah from Noah Your Rights, the show that helps educate you on your legal rights and resources available to you. You know, I want to be your lawyer, but more than that, I want to help empower you. I want to help provide you the tools that you need to be successful in your case, whether you hire me or you hire someone else. I want you to check out our website, www.noahyourrights.com. See what resources are there, see how we can help you. And if there's something that's missing, email me at noah@noahyourrights.com and we'll see what we can do to add the material that you need to be successful in your case.
You wanted to see me?
Yes, please, have a seat. So here's the thing. When this company brought you on, we took a chance on you. You didn't have that 4-year college degree we typically look for.
Right.
But we gave you a shot anyway. And since then, you've worked incredibly hard and given it your all.
Thanks.
You've been an important asset to the team, but I don't think you can be an intern here anymore. We want to hire you.
You're serious?
Absolutely.
Find your next great employee. Introduce yourself to the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
I won't let you down.
I know.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
You're listening to Knowing Your Rights on Clay, 1180 AM. Today's topic is USERRA. On the phone with me is Matthew Crotty and Thomas Gerard, two attorneys that practice out of Spokane, Washington, that have a particularized knowledge in this area of law. They have a military background, and they've been representing persons returning from active duty employment or other types of employment as part of their reservist duties. And problems, when problems arise in returning to work, these are the lawyers that that you need to be looking to help you out. So Thomas and Matthew, right before the break, I had posed that question about sort of the terms of employment, not just getting your job back, but what does it look like in terms of salary, duties, and then also, you know, the longer we work somewhere, depending, particularly if you have a public position, those, or it doesn't have to be public, but those pensions or 401ks or other types of retirement accruals, those are pretty important. So how does that play into the system when you're called to active duty and then seek reemployment?
Noah, this is Matt. Great question. And the thing you want to think about in answering that question is the escalator. I mean, just like the escalator at the shopping mall. So if you go away and you and all your buddies are making $12 an hour and you're gone for a year and you come back and all your buddies are making $14 an hour, you need to be making $14 an hour. That goes for pay and seniority. And also pension benefits. The only time where you're not really on the escalator position is if you're in a probationary status. So say you're like in a year-long probationary period and you're interrupted for 30 days, then you're paused. You don't have to redo the first couple months of probation that you did before you left, but you don't get to skip ahead on the probation side. And then with your pension, I mean, depending on whether it's defined benefit, defined contribution. There's some differences there, but again, the general rule is you should be treated as if you've never left. So, and then there's another interesting component of the reemployment part of USERRA, and that's the if you're gone for 30 days or more. So this doesn't apply if you're just coming back from your 1 week in a month or your 2 weeks in the summer. But if you're gone for 30 days or more, then you can't get fired for the following 6 months unless you basically lie, cheat, steal, do something horrific. It's called a without cause protection. And Thompson had a case a while back. It was this, we represented this doctor who worked out of the hospital in the Midwest. And he got called up for more than 30 days, served in Afghanistan, ended up getting put in for the Silver Star, had a couple of guys in his patrol get killed. I mean, he saw some horrific things. He came back to the hospital, after his more than 30-day deployment, and you know, worked there for a couple weeks, and his boss came and said, hey, are you going to get called up again? And he said, yeah, probably. So about a week later, he works all night, finishes that night shift. He's walking out to the parking lot, and there's human resources in the parking lot saying, hey, we're firing you under the at-will provision of your contract. And they can't do that. At-will doesn't apply in that situation. So,
wow. And even in states like Washington, which is an at-will state where you don't have to have a contract, you can be terminated for any reason, this federal law is going to overcome that, isn't it?
Exactly. And then if you're gone for more than 6 months, then that without cause protection, it extends for a year.
And, you know, that's great because what employers can do, and, you know, employers are trying to do the right thing. I think in most cases, employers are going to give the person called to duty the benefit of the doubt. They're going to try to follow the law. They're going to try to give the protections they can. That's not always the case, and that's when you guys are called to duty, so to speak, and these returning veterans need your help because the employer's not doing what they're supposed to do, or they don't know what they're supposed to do, or they're intentionally violating law. But for the most part, the employers are probably trying to do the right thing. But this provision that you're talking about, this protection that changes at will, you know what it does? It ends up saying, we're not going to give the employer a pretext. We're not going to let them say that they're firing you for some other reason unrelated to your military service when we know that's probably what it is, because they don't want you to be called up to duty again or to leave again. So they're going to terminate you for parking in the wrong parking spot or something like that. It has
and
to
that
be.
And that applies to more than just termination. They can't demote you also within that time frame. I mean, it's, you know, they got to, again, treat you like you never left. And again, you're right. I think that is why they wrote that into the law, to make it so the employer can't make something up as retaliation for you going away.
So, Matt and Thomas, with the listeners that are out there, they're returning from this active duty status, and they're honorably discharged. They return to their work, and they're put through the ringer. They're told to retest this, to recertify this, to redo this. What can they do? What are their rights? What's the best method or mode for them to take this challenge on?
This is Thomas again. Obviously, I think they should call us, or they can go to our website, which is servicememberlaw.com, and there's a tremendous amount of resources there for service members to read about cases we worked on.
Can you say that? Can you say it again? Was it servicememberlaw.com?
Yeah, that's right. Servicememberlaw.com. That's the website that Matt and I share, separate law firms. But that's where we host the vast majority of our USERRA information. The other great resource that's available to these guys or gals on the internet is the ROA. That's the Reserve Officers Association of America, has a law center. And the vast majority of that law center is about 1,000 or 2,000 law review articles about specific issues. And they're all organized. Both Matt and I have contributed to those law reviews over the years. They're very well organized by index, by subject matter. And, you know, you can really pinpoint some solid answers to difficult questions just on your own looking at that. But, of course, if the service member is getting run through the ringer, what I really encourage them to do, yes, find somebody or find some resource to, you know, make sure you understand your right. And then absolutely tell your employer that you want to exercise your USERRA rights. From that point that you've told the employer, that gives them the opportunity to go to their human resources department. And if it's a bad personality or a bad boss, just making bad decisions because he's ignorant on the law, hopefully that human resource professional will train them up and tell them what they're supposed to be doing. And that might be the simplest way for them to resolve the problem. If that doesn't resolve the problem at the lowest level, then certainly they can reach out to private practitioners like Matt or I. And in addition to that, there's two other resources I want to tell your listeners about. There's the Employer Support and Guard and Reserve. And that their role, the Employer Support and Guard and Reserve, they're not there to enforce USERRA. They're there to teach the employer about USERRA. So sometimes that can backfire on the service member when they go to ESGR. The other resource that they have is an enforcement mechanism through the Department of Labor VETS, VETS service. And you can file an actual USERRA complaint there
and it will be investigated within 90 days by the Department of Labor. But Department of Labor's investigation is going to be dependent on the quality of the investigator. So oftentimes we run into problems with cases where the service member has gone through the DOL process, did not have a very thorough or helpful investigation, and that ends up hurting the service member's case. So our preference is always, you know, call us first or another person that practices in the area of USERRA.
It sounds like if the returning active duty member, the military member called to active duty, returning to employment, if they end up barking up the ladder here, particularly filing like a USERRA complaint with the Department of Labor, the feds, are they going to get special whistleblower protection in Washington too, or maybe some other type of statutory protection?
Yeah, they are. So USERRA has its own anti-retaliation protection and their state law as well. So Thomas mentioned earlier this case that we had against Kitsap County a few years back, and that involved a member of the Washington Army National Guard leaving for 3 years, coming back, and he didn't get his badge back, his ID back, and some other things back. So he called the ESGR. ESGR contacted the county. The county retaliated against him a few months later by passing him over for this promotion for a job that he was the only one that was qualified for, and then they demoted him. So under the law, we were able to sue the county under both USERRA and what's called the Washington Law Against Discrimination for really retaliating against him for exercising his rights under the law.
So are there any other protections outside of USERRA? And we only got a couple of minutes before we have to wrap up the show, but is there something else that, Thomas, you mentioned a couple websites for that had some great resources, but is there something else at the sort of top of your mind that persons being deployed need to make sure that they read or have available if they are called to active duty?
Yeah, this is Thomas again. So there are other laws. I think Matt mentioned the Washington Law Against Discrimination has protections for service members as well as veteran status. So you can't be discriminated against because of your service under state law. In addition to that, Washington State has its own version of USERRA, mini USERRA, and that's available for folks that are called away for state service. Remember, I had mentioned earlier in the program, covered
right.
Service, federal service, not state service. So Washington State has those special protections for service members as well. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, that's and those are great resources. What I'd like to do is go ahead and add a couple of these links to the website, if you don't mind. I'll put some details for both of you onto the knowyourrights.com website. People can click through and contact you that way. Can you give us the name of that website that you would refer folks to directly?
Yeah, so it's servicememberlaw.com. That's the site where Matt and I keep kind of the depository of what we do with USERRA. And then the other one is ROA. And that's .org. And once you're on ROA's website, you click on the tab that takes you to the Service Member Law Center.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Know Your Rights. I want to extend gratitude to Thomas Girard and Thomas Crotty. Thank you very much for joining Know Your Rights, gentlemen.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
And you know, the take that I got from today's episode is for those of you that are returning from active duty status to your jobs, you're not alone. You've got protections from USERRA. You have really good lawyers on this side that are going to help you out, that are going to stand and go to bat for you. So make sure you keep these resources available. Check out our website. I'll have those links. Thanks for joining us on this edition of Know Your Rights on Clay, 1180 AM. We'll see you next week, same time, same day. Stay safe out there.